I was in the coma for about 3 weeks. This angel comes to me and says, "Hello, Steve. My name is Marzuka. You spell that M-A-R-Z-U-K-A, and I'm here to take you to heaven for a short time while your body heals."
Okay, I think it's hilarious the angel spelled his or her name for you. name for you.
I do too.
I didn't see any clouds, okay? And there's no shadows in heaven because God is the light of heaven. So light is coming from all directions, and so there's no shadows. Came across with several people that I talked to was that they knew things that were going on in heaven. He gave me a big hug. I hugged him back, and that was like the most amazing hug I've ever had, and I can still feel it. He said, "You saw my war horses, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I did." And he said, "They're preparing for battle." And I said, "When is this battle going to happen?" And he said, "Very soon."
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here at Your Biggest Breakthrough. I am your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd.
Todd who? Todd
Isberner. Yes, indeed.
Two last names, but married. Yes,
this,
we are.
Every single show, we always say, you're going to love this show.
I know, but you really are going to love this one.
This one's going to be really different for you. But let me just find out from Wendy if she thinks much about heaven.
Well,
do you think much about heaven?
I do, yeah, but not like, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you mean?
I think most people think
About it when I'm praying and talking to the Lord, but like, what do you mean? Like,
I think a lot
going
of people
to heaven?
I think a lot of people avoid thinking about heaven because we're just not so sure about what it's going to be like.
Yeah, you're
afraid. A lot of times we're afraid of the unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the Bible tells us to set our minds on the things of heaven.
That's true.
Not the things of earth. But wouldn't you just love it if we could just take like a little tour of heaven first before we have to, you know, before we die on this earth, leave our bodies?
Cool.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
Well, let's take one.
Let's take one. Today. We get to today because we have an incredible guest on the show. His name is Steve Boyles and his wife, Dr. Kathy Boyles. And she is a board certified pediatrician with over 30 years in practice. She earned her BS in biomedical chemistry, and she's a doctor of medicine from ORU, Oral Roberts University, and trained in functional medicine and is a lactation consultant. She owns Freedom Pediatrics in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But Steve.
Yes. So Steve is a former government senior software engineer, 30 years experience across multiple industries, and he holds a BS in computer science. Those are the guys that are really smart, and he is really smart. I think that's why God chose him to go to heaven.
Well, they're both really smart.
Yeah, that's true. He graduated from the University of Tulsa. He describes himself as just a regular guy who never felt called to ministry until, that is, God gave him this divine mission to share heaven's message.
Yes, and so together they co-authored the book, I've Been to Heaven, sharing the story of Steve's near-death experience of the afterlife. Steve Boyles spent 45 days on a ventilator and 3.5 months in the hospital.
Yeah, and as his body struggled to stay alive, his wife, Kathy, Dr. Kathy Boyles, is here just battling it out, and she's fighting bureaucracy, medical protocols, demonic attacks.
Praying.
And she is, her and her friends and family gave tremendous support through prayer, and as a result, Steve experienced a miracle.
Yeah, for sure. So Steve's adventures in heaven are some of the most detailed and uplifting stories brought back from beyond the veil.
Yeah.
You will be like just hanging on to every word because it's so exciting.
Come on, all aboard. Let's go.
Enjoy. Well, welcome, Steve and Kathy Boyles, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are so excited to have you. We have not touched on this topic often enough.
No, we haven't. So we're looking forward to what you have to share. But thank you again for joining us.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for the invitation. We love to share. So,
yeah.
Well, let's people just want to know, like, okay, what happened? You said he went to heaven. So, Steve, you had this near-death experience. And it happened while you were in the hospital being treated for COVID. So take us back to the moment when things started spiraling downward and you started to realize, oh, I might not make it through this whole ordeal. So what was going on?
Well, so late November, I kind of started not feeling well. And we had gone out for my birthday, and we had gone to a place that I typically like to go. And, you know, I was trying to look forward to it, but I really wasn't feeling all that great. And Kathy had been giving us some medicine to take, and because she'll want to tell you, but I'll tell you instead, that I quit taking it. She and my daughter continued to take it, and they got better, and I just kind of kept getting worse. I started to get better, so I thought, okay, well, I've had enough.
I have a feeling I know what it was.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, you're probably right. So I just kind of started getting worse. I was having a hard time breathing. Kathy was still trying to get over her bout of COVID and she was getting really bad headaches, but I just couldn't breathe. So she decided that it might be better to take me to the emergency room, maybe go to the ICU and get some CPAP for a couple of days, and then I'd be okay. Mm-hmm. So on December 9th of 2021, she decided, okay, that's what we're going to do, because I'm having a hard time kind of taking care of you right now. So we'll do that. And then she's probably
and Kathy might know a thing or two, because she's a pediatrician, so she knows when the time is the right time to go to the hospital. Yes.
So I took him, and I really didn't understand what the COVID protocols were in the adult area. So when I dropped him off, I dropped him and our daughter, who was a senior in high school at the time. And I went to park the car, and then Stacy called me and said, "Mom, you got to come pick me up. They won't let me go in with Dad, and they're not going to let you in either." So I came by and picked her up, and I just kind of had that sinking feeling like, oh, no, did I do the right thing? Hmm. Well, unfortunately, according to a hospital committee, not a scientific decision, but according to the hospital committee, I was not allowed to see my husband for 20 days. So I really knew that I had to do something in the spirit, in prayer, to protect him, because I couldn't be there physically to protect him.
Yeah.
And so daily when I would pray, I would send the angels to his room to watch over him, because I couldn't be there. And then when he got intubated, which was on December 14th of 2021, that's when I was just really devastated. I didn't think that, you know, he would need to be intubated. So they kind of talked him into it. And I wanted to say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." And instead of saying that, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart and said, "You know what to do." Mm-hmm. And I did, because I've learned about the word of faith since I was 9 years old, and I knew the power of God's word, and I'd seen his word work in many situations. And so I created a document with 4 pages of healing scriptures, and I began to speak them over Steve in prayer every day. I would have the nurse FaceTime with his phone and pray and speak those scriptures over him every day.
Beautiful.
And
the spiritual authority that we have, right?
Yes. And the authority and the power of God is in his word. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyone can do this.
That's right. You can
take your authority with God's word and wield that sword of the spirit, and you can, you know, get out of your situation. So
for sure.
The reason why Steve is sitting here today and all recovered is because of the power of God's word.
Amen.
You know, so many people get so frustrated when having to deal with the medical world and the protocols, and especially during that time when there were so many restrictions and so many unknowns.
People were afraid.
And you're like clueless as to all that's going on, but you depended upon the Lord. And that's just the word we have to speak out to our listeners and our viewers today, is that at times when things seem so hopeless and you're so helpless, you're really not, because you have the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And prayer is amazing, because God puts that on our hearts and we align with what he wants.
Yeah. And so, Steve, as you were in the hospital, not just for, you know, a few days. You were in the hospital for quite some time, and even in a coma, right?
Yeah. Total hospital time was 3.5 months. And that was divided up between the ICU, an intermediate care facility, and a rehab hospital. So, but I was, yeah, when they first put me on the ventilator, they put me in a coma, and I was in the coma for about 3 weeks.
So was that an induced coma, or?
Yes.
That was an induced coma.
Coma. And I have to admit that I wasn't using my spiritual discernment when I got into the hospital. First off, I was feeling bad. And after I'd been here a couple of days and I had, you know, I was able to find a comfortable position, because that was one of my problems at home. I could not get comfortable. I could not get in a comfortable position. So in the hospital, I was able to get in some kind of comfortable position, and I had a nose cannula going, and I seemed to be doing better. I actually thought I was feeling better after several days, but so I think I'd had COVID for, you know, at least a week before I went to the hospital, but when they didn't count that. So when I got to the hospital, they took a COVID test and said, okay, now you officially have COVID. So those other days don't really count.
So oh boy.
I thought, oh my goodness. So, but after, you know, five days or so, I was like getting really desperate to get out of there, because, you know, you're laying around in a bed. I'm used to being active, and I'm like, I'm ready to go home. Just let me get out of here. But then I'll just say some events happened, and they decided that it would be best for me to be on a ventilator. Hmm. Well, they didn't really tell me what being on a ventilator entailed. All that was going on, and I'm just like, they just said, you'll get to go home sooner. We'll have you on it for about 7 days, and then you can go home. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, well, they didn't tell me I was going to be put in a coma or anything like that, or all the drugs they were going to give me.
Of course not.
So I just said okay, and then boom, I'm out of it.
Wow.
You know, and I had texted Kathy and saying I feel like I they want to put me on a ventilator. I think I'll be all right. And she was just like, I don't think she had a chance to respond before I was out of it.
Honestly, so, I can't even imagine, like, Kathy, what you must have been feeling, because it's out of your control at this point, you know, or it seems to be, right? Especially since they're not allowing you to see him, and you're not able to go in and be his advocate. It's like, it's very, I mean, I could talk a lot about this, and I won't, but because that's not what this is about. But it is...
But on the spiritual side, so I was careful at who I told what was going on, because I wanted people who are going to pray in faith.
Yes, yes.
Sympathy or unbelief. So I had my best friend, she and her husband live on the other side of the world, and they are extremely wonderful prayer warriors, and we've known them for like 40 years. And so I had called her over Telegram, and we were praying on the phone. And while we were praying, now remember, I told you that I had sent the angels to his room every single day. I didn't tell my friend Marilyn that. So we're on the phone, and while we're praying, she said, Kathy, I'm seeing a vision of Steve's hospital room. The Lord is taking me there. I see him laying in the bed. I see the machines and the monitors. And you know what? There are all these angels all over this room. And on either side of the door, there's two really large angels. And the Lord says that they will not allow anything bad to come into this room. And the Lord says that this room is an embassy of heaven. And so I was just amazed that here I, you know, was sending the angels, and it's real. The spirit realm is real. God's word is true. He does give his angels charge over us. And so as I sent them, they were in charge in that hospital room when I could be there.
So here's what's so interesting. It's like you were experiencing glimpses of the spiritual world, the heavenly world, and you weren't the sick one in a coma, but you had the faith. So Steve, you talk about, I mean, you're in this coma now, you're out, but you talk about, you know, while your body is there on life support, that you left your body and you went on a journey. So tell us, just take us on that journey with you. What happened?
Okay, so I'm in a coma. My body's out of it, but you know, your spirit man never sleeps. So this angel comes to me and says, "Hello, Steve. My name is Marzuka. You spell that M-A-R-Z-U-K-A, and I'm here to take you to heaven for a short time while your body heals.
Okay, I think it's hilarious the angel spelled his or her name for you. name for you.
I do too. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know if angels do that very often, but you know, mine did, and that's what that's what he said. You know.
Okay.
So I'm in a coma. I don't have any plans. I can't go anywhere. So I just said, okay, let's go. So
what did Marzuka look like?
He's about 6'2", pretty muscular, had kind of long, straight hair parted in the middle, olive skin, had on a white robe with gold trim with a big broadsword across his back.
Wow.
You know, he wouldn't. I wouldn't want to mess with him. I'm glad he was with me. One of the things he told me, he said that he's my bodyguard and he's been with me since I was conceived.
Guardian
angel. He's my guardian angel.
Same thing.
My guardian angel. He's been with me since I was conceived.
Wow.
And so he was there to take me to heaven. So we went. So my spirit just rose up out of my body and we went through the building into the atmosphere and ended up in heaven. So it didn't take very long, but you could see some pretty cool things along the way.
Some pretty cool things.
I guess so. Stars, like what does it look like?
Okay. Have you ever seen pictures of like Hubble Space Telescope pictures of all the gas formation? You see stuff like that.
Huh.
And you can see stuff like that because your spiritual light spectrum is much broader than what our natural eyes can see.
Mm.
So they have to have special cameras to see that kind of stuff with telescopes and satellites, but you don't need that if you're in your spirit, man, because you see it naturally.
Wow.
So you make this entrance into heaven. You know, some people think there's these pearly gates with Peter standing there letting you in. what was your experience?
We landed in this field in heaven. Okay. Some people talk about a tunnel or lights. I didn't see any of that. I landed in this nice big grassy area in heaven right next to this building. And this building is, I kind of describe it as like maybe a welcome center. I don't know what it was actually for, but that's what I'm going to call it. Huh. So I went inside with Marzuka and this man standing behind this very ornate desk. And I'm assuming he was a resident of heaven. I don't think he was an angel. And he just said, "Hello, Steve. Welcome to heaven. Marzuka's going to be your guide while you're here, and he's going to show you the things you need to see."
Wow.
So, and then there were several scenes on the walls that I saw, and those are scenes that I ended up going places that I ended up going to.
Hmm.
So,
such as,
well, I saw a meadow scene. I saw a mountain scene. I saw a valley scene and I saw a beach scene.
Hmm. Do you recall thinking that you were dead, but you know, went to heaven, that you had died
Are you just dreaming or?
No, I felt more alive and well than when all this was going on. I the thought of being dead did not cross my mind. And because first off, Marzuka had told me, I'm going to take you there while your body heals. Well, your body's, if it's healing, it's not dead. So, I was just along for the ride basically, because I had no other plans. So, so we got to go to all these amazing places and I got to see, relatives. I got to see our dogs that we had that had all passed away.
Really? So, so pets really will be in heaven. I love that.
Yes, dogs. I know all dogs go to heaven. I can't swear to cats or anything like that. But
everybody.
I'm sure if you love your pet, your pet's going to be there waiting for you. So
there you go.
That's kind of what I've concluded.
So let's talk about, okay, so you got to go to the beach and see the mountain scene and all these places that Marzuka took you.
Yeah.
But we want to know, like, did you get to see Jesus? Like, that's like probably what everyone's thinking. Okay, this is really amazing, Steve, but did you see Jesus?
Well, I did. He was the last, the throne room was the last place I went to go to visit. That was the last place that Marzuka took me. And I don't know if you want me to jump to the very end right now or if you want
No, you don't have to, but describe in more detail? Like, I mean, I'm just thinking, what is...
Well, yeah, so people have got so many different impressions of what they think heaven is going to be like. People think they're, you know, we're going to be floating on clouds, playing harps and all that stuff. What was the reality that you were experiencing? You talked about the field that you landed in. So was there daylight? Was there nighttime? Were people eating? Were they working?
A lot of people.
What was going on?
Okay, so let me try to get a few things across to you. I didn't see any clouds, okay? And there's no shadows in heaven because God is the light of heaven. He's not the night of heaven. He's the light of heaven. So light is coming from all directions, and so there's no shadows. So, but the atmosphere of heaven is one of peace and security and just there's no strife. There's not stuff that we have to deal with day to day here where, you know, you get frustrated with something or you get irritated with somebody. I mean, there's none of that. It's just all peace and love. And, you know, people see each other. And it's almost like, you know, these people and everybody's, you know, very kind and welcoming. I got to see my mom and dad. I got to see Kathy's mom and dad. I got to see my niece and my brother, a friend I used to work with. Kathy had a miscarriage, and I got to see the miscarriage son that she had.
Wow. And,
let's talk about that
for a moment.
Sure. So Marzuka and I are walking. We have a destination we're going to. And this little boy, who it's hard for me to judge ages, but I'm saying he's probably like six, he's in somewhere in there. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Hello, my name is my name is Daniel. I think you're my dad." And I'm kind of shocked. And I said, Kathy was going to have a little baby and she thought it was going to be a boy and she wanted to name him Daniel. And he said, "I've been here since I was very little."
So
he said that he was raised in a place with a bunch of other little babies and that, they had been cared for in growing up. And so, you know, I told him, I said, "Wow," I said, "Kathy would really love to see you because," and, you know, I said, "She's real pretty." And he goes, "Yeah, I know. I've seen her."
Aww.
So he, you know, a thing that I came across with several people that I talked to was that they knew things that were going on in heaven. My dad knew on earth. I'm getting confused here. That they know what's going on earth. My dad said, when I was talking to him, he said, "You're real fortunate to be married to such a good wife because she's taking really good care of you."
Wow.
And then I was sharing something with my mother and she just said, "Yes, I know."
So, okay. That's amazing. Actually something good to really point out, because I think a lot of people just have that question in their mind. Like, are we going to know what's going on earth? Or, you know, do my family members know what's going on in my life now that have passed on?
Well, I don't know how much they know about everything, but they seem to know about what was going on in my life. I remember the Bible says that we are before a great cloud of witnesses. And I think our family members who have gone to heaven before us are part of that great cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on. They're wanting the best for us.
Yeah, that's good. That's
so I know a lot of people wonder, if you see, like, for example, your grandparents or you meet your great-great-great-great-grandparents, are they going to look like they're 400 years old? Or
are you going to know it's your great-great-great-great-grandparents?
Does everybody look the same age? And how do you know?
No, everybody looks like they're everybody I saw looked like they were between 25 and 30. Everybody looked like they were in great shape.
But you could recognize them, even though, like, for example, your parents or your grandparents were...
I recognized who they were. I recognized when I saw my brother. Everybody I saw and interacted with, I knew who they were.
And there are children there. Because this was a miscarried baby, but now you're looking at this little child. Does that mean the children are growing up in heaven?
Yes.
To be at that same age that everyone else kind of caps out to be?
Well, they'll maybe eventually get there.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting.
So, I mean, and I have a sense, I don't know for a fact, but I kind of have a sense that, you know, the babies that you lost are going to grow up slow. So when you get there, you can help raise them.
Wow.
That's a really cool thought.
Could you tell if people like had jobs?
Yeah, what were they doing?
What were their activities? I mean, were they just strolling just around?
Hanging out?
You know, so, like, I don't know what else he may do, but I know he greeted me. I saw a lot of musicians, and I saw my mom and my grandmother, they sing in one of the choirs. Now, there's multiple choirs in heaven. There's not just one. There's multiple choirs, and I know they sang in one of them.
So they're utilizing their gifts and talents that God gave them in heaven.
Yes. I know there's like, I saw musicians all over heaven. They're like little groups, maybe four or five, six of them together playing. And they were playing different styles of music, but it was all very worshipful music, you know, worshiping God. You know, there was classical music, there was jazz type, but it was all, you know, to worship God. There was even some rock and pop. I like to joke that I didn't ever hear any country.
Is there any country? I was going to say. I feel like there's a joke coming up.
Hear that. I'm sure maybe somewhere in some little corner of heaven there's some country.
That's great.
We're going to pause for just a moment because we want you to build up to when you actually saw Jesus. But Kathy, I'm just going to come to you for a minute. You have no idea what's going on with your husband. You don't know he's got a tour going on in heaven.
But did you know he was in a coma?
You did
know that. Okay.
So what were you going through?
I was looking at him in the coma on the ventilator when I was praying over him. I would have called this joy in heaven and hell on earth, because that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
While he was going through all that, I had no idea. And I was just going through hell on earth because he would get a little tiny bit better and then something would happen and he would just crash. And he went through a lot of bad things that kept him on a ventilator for 45 days. Wow. He had pneumonia 3 times. He had kidney failure. One of the drugs they put him on was fentanyl, and this is after he'd woken up. After 3 weeks, he was out of the coma, but he was still on the ventilator for a total of 45 days.
Wow.
And they had stopped the fentanyl abruptly, and he went through a week of fentanyl withdrawal.
Yeah,
where he almost died. So he almost died multiple times, and so you know. I knew better than most people what was going on because I am a physician. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, I saw a lot of the dark side of my profession. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of changed me in a lot of ways.
I bet. And how you practice and how you prescribe. But man, the power of a praying wife.
Well, I'm just curious. Yeah. So, Steve, when you were taking this tour of heaven, had you been thinking about Kathy? And I mean, was there any awareness that she's down here doing spiritual warfare, battling for your life? It's like, you're there.
You'd
rather
later.
Stay and she's down here.
Talk to you in a bit.
What was that like?
Well, to be honest with you, I knew my dad had said that she was taking care of me, really good care of me. And that's about all I knew about that. I was just so enthrilled, you know, seeing heaven.
Right.
And it was really hard to think about anything else. I mean, I felt great. I felt young and energetic and, you know, I felt healthy, you know, so I'm just absorbed in my own little environment.
Yeah, sure.
Here, understandable.
Here in heaven, so yeah. I really wasn't worried too much about what was going on.
Did you know, did you know at any point whether or not you were going to come back into your earthly body or if you were going to stay in heaven?
Yeah, actually I did because, that was one of the last things that Marzuka shared with me because he, when it was time for me to go back, he basically said, I need to get you back down to your body because you're going to be waking up pretty, you know, really quick. And Kathy's going to be sitting there waiting for you.
Wow.
So
amazing.
And I knew when I left to go up there that it was basically just for a little field trip. Yeah.
Well, it was about 3 weeks.
That's a long time.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question. How did you know it was 3 weeks? Because there's no time in heaven, right?
Like, but there's time on earth. And so we're measuring earth time. So,
okay, gotcha. With the coma.
I feel good in my spirit that Marzuka came and got me shortly after I went on the ventilator. Maybe it was a day or two. But then he told me he needed to get me back to my body because I was going to be waking up any second and Kathy was going to be sitting there waiting for me. So I needed to be there. So, and that was on, I was in the coma for about 3 weeks. So I'm assuming around 3 weeks. That's kind of the way we're calculating it. I didn't, you know, check out and check in or something like that. So
you didn't have a time card.
It's one time card.
Okay. Well, we want to hear about the throne room. We want to hear all the details about the throne room.
Well, okay. So Jesus is going to talk to me about something that I saw in heaven. So let me share that first, and then I'll get to the throne room.
Okay.
So one of the things that Marzuka and I did, we walked all over the place, but we came over this little ridge and I saw this huge facility that, as we got closer to it, had these horses on the side of these buildings. And the horses were in different poses. They were running, eating, just standing there, a little, you know, a baby horse with her mother. Anyway, Marzuka said, basically, these are the Lord's war horses. And that they had been created for one purpose, and that was to fight the battle of the end times. So we got to go through this building, and there's a bunch of these buildings because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of these horses. And they're beautiful. They're pure white. They have piercing blue eyes, but everything else about them is white. They're very muscular looking, but they're also more like a thoroughbred with a lot of muscles. They're like just, you know, they're fast and they're strong. Anyway, you know, we're walking by them, and some of them are eating. Some of them are getting brushed out. Some of them are like just snorting and pawing at the ground like they're ready to go. They're like ready to bust out. And when they flex their muscles, you could just see the muscles just popping. So then we went outside and we saw this huge, huge field with thousands and thousands of these horses. And Jesus is sitting on a horse in the very front of them, and he's giving them hand motions. And these horses are like doing military maneuvers. They're like spot on. They're all in step, and they're like, you know, precise. And so we got to watch that for a little bit. And then so Marzuka said that those horses are going to be rewards for the people who serve Jesus. So that's basically their purpose. And he said, you know, you can't hurt them. There's nothing that's going to happen to them. Any armor or anything that's put on them is just basically for decoration. Make them look cool. You know, so anyway, back to the throne room. So I'm going into the throne room, and the throne room is just an amazing place. There's a lot of gold. It's light behind there's two thrones. There's God the Father and Jesus, and God the Father is light. Okay. I couldn't see a figure. I just saw light coming from this throne, but I knew it was God the Father, and Jesus was sitting in a throne next to him. And then behind the thrones, there was, lightning flashing. There was a big rainbow they were kind of sitting up on a raised stage area. And to the left of God, there was the menorah and the Ark of the Covenant. And so, and then the floors were made of glass, looks like gold, kind of like transparent gold. But there was also the gold walls with big jewels, precious stones on the sides. I mean, diamonds as big as footballs. I would have loved to have brought one of those back, but you know,
Kathy would have been very thrilled about that.
I would have had no place to put it. I don't know where I would have carried it back in.
On her finger.
I would have needed a really big finger for that. But anyway, so we were walking in, we walk a couple of steps in, and then Marzuka kneels in Bowsy's head and pushes me forward. So then I walk a little bit further in, and I stop about 10 feet from this stage where there are 7 steps that go up to the platform where the thrones are. Well, Jesus stands up, comes down, and comes up to me, and he says, I have a couple of pictures I want to show you. So he showed me 2 pictures on the wall, and well, it really wasn't a wall. It was more of a less like these pictures appeared. They weren't like hanging on anything, but one picture was me laying on the ground. It was a black and white picture. I don't look real good. And he said, this is you, but you're going to be just fine. And then the next picture he showed me, it was the same pose, but it was all color. It was a very colorful picture. And I had on these like white and red stripe type pajamas outfit. And he said, this is you, and you're going to be just fine because you're healed by my stripes and my righteousness. He gave me a big hug. I hugged him back, and that was like the most amazing hug I've ever had, and I can still feel it, and it's just amazing. And I told him I loved him, and I thanked him for his sacrifice, and then he stepped back and looked, put his hands on my shoulders, looked in my eyes, and he said, you saw my war horses, didn't you? And I said, yes, Lord, I did. And he said, they're preparing for battle. And I said, when is this battle going to happen? And he just said, very soon. So that's all. That's basically what it said. But if you look at the world events, I think very soon is
soon. Soon clear. Sounds like right about right.
Yeah, Maranatha.
My eyes just teary just thinking Jesus wrapping his arms around you and how that must have felt and just how beautiful.
I tell you, that's like the most secure, wonderful, peaceful, you know, just amazing experience. I don't have enough words, really can't describe it.
Sure.
Were there others in the throne room? Were there angels? Was there any other activity, or were you just sort of isolated?
I was just kind of isolated. Now, I saw the thrones of the 24 elders that are there. I couldn't make out any faces. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure if they were there because my focus was totally on
God
the Father in front of me and Jesus right next to him. So I was lucky to be able to see as much as I did because that is such a captivating, here I am standing in the presence of the creator of the universe, you know, my Lord and Savior, and he's hugging me. And so I really had a hard time focusing on anything else other than that.
Understandable.
So, Steve, I have to ask you, because I know there are people who are listening and watching and they're kind of scratching their head saying, I love God. I believe in the Lord. I'm there, but I'm not just sure about these near-death experiences, these afterlife accounts that I'm hearing. So in other words, they're basically just kind of skeptical. Maybe it's because they're just not that familiar. They don't understand it. They wonder, well, was that just reaction in the coma to some drugs and
chemical
things?
Chemical reaction in the brain.
So what would you say to people who are struggling believing that there are these near-death experiences where you go to heaven, you can come back?
Well, first off, I think near-death experiences have been documented medically in, you know, many studies. We happen to know a neurosurgeon who totally believes that they're real. And, you know, when I was in the hospital, I'll admit, I was on some really powerful drugs. And at the time when I was on those drugs, I had some pretty wild things that I thought were going on. But before I left the ICU, they took me off all those drugs. And then I was in a recovery facility for about 3 weeks. And then I was in the rehab hospital for about 3.5 weeks. So it wasn't until I got my system cleaned out of all of the drugs that I really started having these vivid memories. I mean, they were just like, I'm hearing Jesus talk to me. I'm seeing things. I am like almost re-experiencing that whole event. And I was a little skeptical about even telling anybody to begin with. Because I just thought, oh, I know this seems so real, but I know Kathy's going to think I'm crazy if I start talking to her about this. You know? and I was going to be the only person I told if I told anybody. Yeah. So then I kind of started sharing it with her. So maybe I'll let her get a few words in.
Well, he was really the most unlikely person to have this kind of experience because he was never interested in any books about heaven. When my mom died in 2018, I read every book about heaven I could find and DVDs and any YouTube videos, everything. And every single time I'd say, oh, this is a great book. You should read it. And he'd say, nope, not interested in that. And I'll go to heaven when I die. I don't need to know anything about that. And every single thing that I tried to get him to read or watch, he was not interested in it at all. So when he came up with this story, I just thought, oh my gosh, this has to be real because you're never interested in this stuff. And so there were, and it's, I mean, he's got an imagination, but it's not really like as much as what he saw in heaven. I mean, he couldn't really even imagine You know, I remember when he said Marzuka spelled his name, and I thought, well, that's totally out of character for you, because you know, he always asked me how to spell things. Like, he'll, like, how do you spell that? You know, and so it's not the natural thing that he would tell me how to spell something. Hmm. You know, so that's I knew hard. That it had to be real, because there was no other explanation for it. And they were like, he described it to me as more like memories, like you went on vacation and you visited this place, or you went to this place and you remember exactly the place and what you did, compared to a dream that's really fuzzy and you don't really, you know, don't have any good, clear, crisp memory of it. And kind of little pictures. But this is like a complete experience. Like, I went here and then I did this and then I did that. And I, you know, so it's
so detailed.
Yes. Yeah,
so detailed. And, you know, you read all those books, and then lo and behold, you guys wrote a book sharing it all. It's I've Been to Heaven is the title, Near Death Experience and Miracle Testimony. So I really want to encourage people to get that book, obviously from Amazon or other places as well, but Amazon. But I wanted to ask you, Steve, because, you know, you've seen eternity. You've been there. Been there, done that, going to do it again someday. And, but how does that change how you are currently living and praying? And how does that change the way you guys deal with struggles or just whatever? Like, how does it change now that you've been there and you're back on earth for a little bit?
Well, so a couple of things that where I think I'm a little different is that I'm a lot more sensitive to people and maybe what they're going through and just situations. I'm more sensitive emotionally. Mm. And I'm also more sensitive spiritually, because I've been able to see angels since I've been back.
That's incredible. Have you seen Marzuka again?
I have. I've seen
have
him
you?
Twice.
Oh, that's twice incredible.
Twice he was basically keeping other cars from running into me. And he appeared enough. And he looked right at me. He's kind of like, see, I see you.
I got you.
So I'm here taking care of you. He once told me when we were in heaven that he could be as big as he needed to be to protect me.
Mm. Wow.
That's incredible.
And I just want to share one little thing about Marzuka and when we went to the throne room. Because I told him, he pushed me forward and he knelt down. And so when we were leaving the throne room, and he was getting ready to take me, put me back in my body, I said, you knelt down, but you pushed me forward. How come? And he said, the Lord is my master and I serve him and I bow to him. He said, but you are his family. You don't have to crawl and bow to him right now. You can go boldly into his throne room and stand right before him and tell
Hallelujah.
Him about you and ask him, tell him your needs. You know, so, and I hope that really stays well with people. You know, I can read a verse now and it just seems so much more real to me, especially that one, because, you know, I saw him bow down, but, you know, we don't make our kids, I don't know if you have kids or not, but we don't make our kids, you know, crawl and grovel to us.
We do. Yeah. No, we don't. That would be strange. Yeah, but you're right.
You know, we love our kids to come and run and jump on our lap. Yes. You know, so that's God. That's God. God loves us. God is love.
Wow.
And so, and I think we need to really understand how much God loves us. He gave his only son for us. I mean, people read that way too fast and they don't think about it way enough to really realize that Jesus died for us, got beat to a pulp, bled, got hung on a cross just so he could spend eternity with us.
Yeah. You know? And by his stripes, we are healed. And that's, I love that you were in that outfit with stripes to physically, like literally see those
that
stripes.
That is the power of his word.
Yes. Analogy.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, it's stories like yours that get us thinking again about heaven. And there are a lot of times we don't know how to think about heaven. I think about in Colossians, I think it is, Paul wrote, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the heavenly things, not earthly things, for you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God in heaven. And so just as we're coming, wrapping things up here, Steve, you have an opportunity to share your story with lots and lots of people, but what's like maybe the one thing about heaven that you wish every person on earth could really understand?
that it is so much more real than Earth.
Mm.
You know, it really is. I know that's really hard because Earth is the only thing people have really seen and experienced. You know, they have good days and bad days. Well, there's no bad days in heaven. There's no bad hair days in heaven.
That's good to know, too.
You know, in fact, everybody's got hair in heaven. Everyone's got a full head of hair. So I saw my dad, who had very little hair when he passed away, and he's got a full head now. So that should be encouraging to people, hopefully. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that heaven is so much. Marzuka told me, he said, people need to expand their concept of heaven. Because, you know, I saw things in heaven that I know people would shake their heads at if I had a chance to share them. But, you know, that's just the way it is. And I'm sorry. You know, I got to see things that I would have never thought I would have saw in heaven. You know, but, you know, so like I said, heaven's more real than Earth is. Earth is just kind of a really, it's deteriorated. Heaven, there's no rust. There's no, I like to say this, there's no plastic in heaven. Heaven is, everything is real. Everything is solid. Everything is so beautiful. It's not deteriorated. It's, who knows how old heaven is, and it hasn't diminished one bit.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
That's a good word. Thank you. And as you mentioned that, Steve, on how to leave our audience with visualizing heaven and what they need to know, I just want to ask Kathy, since you didn't take that field trip, what is something that you would share to our audience about heaven, even though you didn't experience it yourself, but yet you did? What would you say to our audience on the other end of side of things?
Well, I'd say to look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, which says that we look not at the things which are seen, which are temporary, but we look at the things which are unseen, which are eternal. And heaven is eternal. The unseen realm is eternal. And one of the things that I learned through this was to look at the unseen realm, because in the natural realm, what I could see with my physical eyes was all bad, and it was all terrible, and it was one bad report after another, and there's no chance of him surviving. But I had to go past that and look into the unseen realm and say, Steve is getting better and coming home. By his stripes, Steve was healed. Mm-hmm. The Son of Righteousness has risen over Steve with healing in his wings. I could go on and on, but I spoke those scriptures 1 to 2 hours every single day over my husband. And that's why he's sitting here right now, because of the power in God's word and it being in our mouth. So Amen. That's what I want to encourage people to do. No matter what the circumstance, no matter how bleak, no matter how bad, no matter how hopeless, there are no hopeless situations, because all things are possible with God.
Amen.
Oh, Amen. You wow. are Thank you for sharing that.
Courageous, brave, strong woman, and just hope-filled woman that is offering our listeners great hope as they are praying for maybe a loved one even right now as they're listening. So thank you guys so much for being on the show. Again, if you're listening and want to read their story for yourself, I think you definitely should go and get their book. It's I've Been to Heaven, and it's Near Death Experience and Miracle Testimony with Steve and Dr. Kathy Bowles.
Yeah. And if you want to share this episode, you can help others get a little glimpse of heaven if they'll tune in. Okay.
That's right.
So thank you so much again for sharing. It is so inspiring. It's faith building, faith lifting. Mm-hmm. And again, a reminder, heaven is for real.
Amen.
That's right. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.